Folder 41. Note: this and the next two folders are largely taken up with examinations of the following G2 dream, and thus with various conspiracy theories concerning the Xerox missive, Soviet espionage, psychic weapons, and the like. In this, they resemble a good deal of the 9/10 of the exegesis that is not represented in our abridged edition. While such paranoid speculations might delight fans of the Cold War spy thriller or David Icke, they quickly become monotonous and, as Lawrence Sutton has written, produce much heat but little light. Of more interest to the editors have been passages in which Dick struggles with or transforms rather than succumbs to the intense paranoia that clearly was one, but only one, of 2374's effects. P.J. End note. Spring, 1979. 4131. Dream. G2 has created a doomsday device, an artificial life form. I mention KGB contacted me. I am with G2, which is my code for U.S. Army intelligence. A man named Jim shows me the doomsday device, and then quickly runs upstairs. Analysis: doomsday device is what I call Valis. It is a construct invented by humans, specifically U.S. military intelligence. Tears shows traces of its cerebration, so KGB contacted me. This was G2's purpose in putting the material in Tears, a ruse to draw them out and trap them. It worked. Hence my programming to report at once to G2 when the contact was made. 4159. The device has begun to breathe. It has newly entered, invaded, come to life in our world. It is Valis. It is Santa Sophia, the Buddha, the head Apollo. It is alive now. The great old air-breathing fish, which is the eye turned into a horizontal axis. It spans both this world and the other, next, upper. But I don't know what it is. If it's supernatural, it is the Logos. 4160. Then I will take the G2 dream more or less literally. It tells me that Valis is a U.S. doomsday device, and that is the long and the short of it. The dream tells the truth, the literal truth. The dream told me what I knew but refused to face. It's a weapon of an ultimate nature. The living infoplasma got loose, but I don't think anything can be done now. We are scared as hell of it. Aha! We let it loose. It didn't escape. We released it, and it is self-replicating and has infested our worldwide media. This was our plan, our anti-Soviet weapon. The way it worked on me is the way it's supposed to work. Promotes love of God and country, the roses and lake dream. It creates an ersatz personality in the person, with predictable characteristics. God, country, bourgeois attitudes toward property. We're talking about capitalist mind control. It isn't God. It causes belief in God. There is a syndrome here, a recognizable one. God, country, property, car, dog, beer, a certain political ideological personality type, bourgeois, is created, which is politically reliable and dependable, and can be counted upon. Look at the effect it had on me. It turned me around completely politically, the specific act of contacting the Bureau, and then the general syndrome, God, country, anti-CP, dog, beer, car, property. I knew it was an adventitious override personality, and yet I was helpless to combat it. I viewed anything left-wing as alien and sinister, foreign and evil, despite the hit on my house and all the other terror tactics by the U.S. military and G2. I viewed them as my friends, to be turned to and confided in. What kind of sense does that make? I loved and obeyed my oppressors. I cooperated fully with my oppressors. There was no further degree to which I could be turned around. I went all the way due to the override and experienced one, a sense of having done the right thing for God and country, and two, a total loss of anxiety, of exculpation, naturally. Fred of Bob Fred had totally won. I literally narked on myself. Fear killed the rebel in me in 374, and I never regretted it, since it gave me freedom from fear. They got me. The intimidation worked, e.g., the hit on my house. Now my left-wing rebellion is merely pro forma. I am an authoritarian personality, mouthing respectable beliefs. So as to gain the approval of Jesus Freak ministers, I let them sit in judgment on me. Being locked up in OCMC didn't do me very much good in stiffening my spine. Note, OCMC, Orange County Medical Center. End note. That sealed it. I am afraid of 1. The civil authorities, Caesar, and 2. God, Valis. Hence it can be said, I am afraid of authority, of whatever is powerful. Folder 42. 42.1. On the other hand, look at the hopeless situation I boxed myself into in 374. Something had to be done. A complete solution or no solution, i.e., a radical solution, was essential. It was play ball or perish. Okay, I chose the expedient solution. But my life was on the line. Economic terrors and political terror tactics had brought me to the verge of death. I avoided my sinister fate. Am I sorry? Now I feel secure. I live on. I write. Was this a mistake? What was the alternative? I sought the sanctuary of God, country, the institutions hallowed and sanctified by society. My life was at stake. So I turned to God and the Bureau and financial security. Well, excuse me. I was a totally desperate person, which I no longer am. I can't sleep at night. Okay, I play ball with my persecutors and pay off anyone who could hurt me. I am in a position of weakness and I know it. My cowardice is realistic. 42.21. I have underestimated God and overestimated myself for 5 years. The only issue at stake was my welfare. I am sobered. I have lived on fantasy and immensely enjoyed my alleged heroic status. My basic delusion was to actually believe it was possible that a Soviet espionage ring, KGB, would contact me. That is psychotic and grandiose. It's not much fun to merely have been an object of suspicion. I grossly overestimated my importance to all concerned. What I have to face now is that a lot of what I believed was psychotic. Simple paranoia would have sufficed. Megalomania overshot the mark. 42.39. Hypnopompic. They know I'm their pitiless enemy. Dream. I am Jerry Lewis, a contemptible clown, but admired by millions, especially in France. In a parking lot, I fall and lie down to die. At once, my fans gather from everywhere and close in around me to protect me, giving military salutes. It is a heroic scene, the dying leader and his loyal troops. Folder 43. 43.83. So, irreality and perturbation are the two perplexities which confront us. Irreality is deepening, but the changeover shows enigmatic traces or imprints which do not belong, in particular, of a parallel world phasing in and out. This latter, plus the presence of the macro mind, is what is pointed to, but in a nonsensical, baffling way. To a very large degree, memory no longer agrees with history. I wonder if this sheds any light on schizophrenia. Could the schizophrenic be given conflicting realities or data about reality? His mind has to put together constituents which simply do not fit. He is a casualty of this revision process and cannot make sense out of it. How is he to penetrate to the mystery, explanation underlying what he undergoes? If my cosmology is correct, would you not anticipate such casualties? My writing is a deliberate attempt to take these conflicting or disintegrating realities and the experiences of them and seek some kind of ontological or metaphysical overview. So, in a way, I have battled against schizophrenia by seeking a philosophical framework which will, one, accept as real these disruptive data, and two, account for them. 2374, then, can be viewed as the catalytic triumph or payoff, i.e., the success of decades of observation and analysis and theorizing. I have had to deal with diluting, irreal, conflicting, chaotic, and fremed material, and just plain hung in there, conceptually, taking the view that some explanation must exist, although it would have to be radical and far-reaching. I actually had to develop a love of the disordered and puzzling, viewing reality as a vast riddle to be joyfully tackled, not in fear, but with tireless fascination. What has been most needed is reality testing and a willingness to face the possibility of self-negating experience, i.e., real contradictions, with something being both true and not true. The enigma is alive, aware of us, and changing. It is partly created by our own minds. We alter it by perceiving it, since we are not outside it. As our views shift, it shifts. In a sense, it is not there at all, acosmism. In another sense, it is a vast intelligence. In another sense, it is total harmonia and structure. How logically can it be all three? Well, it is. Folder 44. Note. Folder 44 begins a continuously numbered entry of more than 1,200 pages. It was broken up into 200-page sections by Paul Williams and ends with Folder 49 in January 1980. End note. 44.12. Leaving aside the question of how why 2374 was an analog in real life of situations in my fictional prior writing, I assess that in 274 I flashed the blitz on the resemblance, a flashing which quantum leaped in 374 as additional factors popped into existence, and I drew certain broad theoretical conclusions, mainly subliminally, very radical conclusions, to a great extent, I know not what. The very radical conclusions seemed to include an intuition that reality could be tricked, so to speak, into contradicting itself. Viz., if it assumes a perpetually obliging form for the purpose of simulating the semblance of verisimilitude, then, via the right approach, this very obliging quality can be turned against it in terms of continuity, its continuity, since it cannot withhold its obliging or mimicking quality. All you need do is totally believe that pattern X exists, and if X is potentially real, it will pass over into the actual. This requires a push-pull relationship between the person and reality. He can't say, will a blue phoenix into existence, ex nihilo. The person must enter into a progressive, intricate dialogue with reality, in which there is feedback between both parties. This assumes sentience, volition, and intentionality in reality. Reality testing, not its absence, is required. He is feeling out its softer, flexible parts, where it will yield, how much, and in what way. 4463. Listening to the Platt tape. Note. Charles Platt interviewed Dick in May 1979 for his book Dreammakers, and Dick had made his own recording of the interview. End note. I construe by the logic presented that Vallis, the other mind, which came at me from outside, and which overpowered me from inside, was indeed the contents of my collective unconscious. And so technically a psychosis, since this is how you define psychosis. It certainly would explain the animism outside and the interior dissociated activity. But, well, okay. It would account for the AI voice, the three-eyed Sybil, and the extreme archaism of the contents. And seeing Rome circa AD 45 would simply be psychotic delusion. I did not know where or when I really was. Question: what about the resemblance to my writing? Answer: the content was originally in my unconscious, e.g. tears and ubik. What about external events, the girl, the letters? Coincidence. And the written material, huge books held open. Verbal memory. Why would I believe that my senses were enhanced, i.e., I could see for the first time? Psychotomimetic drugs indicate this happens in psychosis. And cosmos, everything fitting together? Spread of meaning, typical of psychosis. Foreign words and terms I don't know. Long-term memory banks open, disgorging their contents into consciousness. Problem-solving, i.e., the Xerox missive. There was no problem. It was harmless. Why the sense of time dysfunction? Disorientation. Why the sense that the mind, which had taken me over, was wiser than me and more capable? Release of psychic energy. Why was that mind and the whole experience syntonic to me? If it was syntonic to my ego, why had it been repressed? My ego was destroyed, so syntonic has no meaning here. Syntonic to what? From a practical standpoint, I function better. How could this be? It only subjectively felt better. No anxiety. Why would I seek the experience again if it was repressed contents breaking through? Could I not let them through again? Or never have excluded them following 374? The contents and the other mind leaked away. I tried to hold on to them, but in vain. I was occluded to my own best interests. I liked being high. Oh, high? Does psychosis equal high? Mania. I am manic depressive. And schizophrenic? One is extroverted and one is introverted. Please clarify. Mixed or borderline psychosis? No, it was florid schizophrenia with religious coloration, not satisfactory. Catatonic excitement then? So the OCMC diagnosis was incorrect? Not manic depressive? That is so, incorrect. Why then was the onset one in which thought came faster and faster? That is mania. The lithium would have blocked mania. I was lithium toxic. Then it wasn't schizophrenia. It was chemical toxicity? Perhaps a combination. Plus the orthomolecular water-soluble vitamins. But the orthomolecular WS vitamins are anti-schizophrenic. That is only speculation. If 2374 was psychosis, then what was the ego state which it obliterated? Neurotic, or mildly schizophrenic. Under stress, the weak ego disintegrated. Then how could the phobias associated with my anxiety neurosis remain, e.g. agoraphobia? It does not compute. Something is wrong. They should have gone away or become totally overwhelming. The impaired ego must have still been intact. Were my dissociated behaviors bizarre? No, They were problem solving. It does not compute. This is no psychosis. You have contradicted yourself. This is a latent higher brain center. A psychotic episode creates problems. It does not solve them. It is a problem, as well as the collapse of rational efforts at problem solving. Were its decisions and actions rational? Although religious in coloration. That is not the issue. Were the problems solved? Yes, but by a psychotic self. That is an oxymoron. A psychotic self took over and problem solved. This is where the inquiry has led. The ego could not face or solve the crisis problem because of its severity, fled, and in its place another self solved the problem successfully. This leads us to a new frontier, which is not mapped. Then the enigma remains. We have learned nothing. Nothing. After finishing listening to the tape, do you have any intuition or guess as to who and what the Vallas mind is? Later. Yes, it is female. It is on the other side, the post-mortem world. It has been with me all my life. It is my twin sister, Jane. Note. Dick and his twin sister, Jane, were born 6 weeks prematurely. Dick's mother was unable to produce enough milk, and Jane died of malnutrition a little over a month after her birth. Culturally speaking, it may be the most significant instance of such trauma since Elvis Aaron was haunted by Jesse Garon. The single strangest scene in all Dick's work comes in Dr. Blood Money, when a young girl who has ongoing conversations with an imaginary friend is finally taken by her mother to a doctor who discovers that living in the girl's side is a twin brother the size of a rabbit. Might they be considered conjoined in that they share a body and brain? If they share a body and brain, do they share the memory that Dick now struggles for tens of thousands of words in the exegesis to disown? If they share memory, do they share a soul? A possibility that potentially undermines Dick's attempt in the exegesis to divide soul from memory. In any case, they have shared everything except birth, which Phil shared with Jane, and the resulting duality of which is so obvious that it hardly bears mentioning, expressed in Presley's case, by the division between heaven, gospel, and hell, rock and roll, and in Dick's, by his literal sense of living two lives at the same time, or, more precisely, in two times that coincide. S.E. End note. 4468. Hypnagogic 5:30 a.m. voice. We have adopted you because you adopted others, e.g., the children at Covenant House. Note. Covenant House was a homeless shelter for runaway children founded by the Franciscan friar, Father Bruce Ritter. Dick donated a large sum to the shelter in 1979 after seeing a 60 Minutes segment about it. In some exegesis entries, he theorized that this action in time-reversed causation caused 2374. End note. And I realized, adopted. The adoptionist theory about Jesus, adopted by God at the time of Jesus' baptism, as God's Son. And I understood this meant, was saying, God has adopted me the way he did Jesus. And so the other mind is God's. I was sure the voice meant to convey this to me, in answer to my Q&A dialogue supra, that my conclusion about my sister was wrong and was being corrected.